Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Are you concerned with the Jalen Hurts situation? He is still in concussion protocol, and tomorrow is obviously a big day. The Eagles will practice. We'll find out if he's on the field, if he's limited, if he's out of practice, whatever it's going to be, and then we'll keep moving forward throughout the week. So there's multiple levels of concern. One, will he get cleared? Hopefully. Mm-hmm. But then two, will he be rusty on Sunday?
Yes.
Hugh's already resigned himself to rust here for Jalen Hurts. Well, that's concerning. This is a playoff game.
No, it's concerning if I don't think that Jalen Hurts can win us the game. Is Jalen Hurts going to be rusty? Yes. Do I still think Jalen Hurts is going to win us this game? Yes. Two things can be true.
They can, and I am with you. I think if he starts, I think they're going to win the game. I feel confident they're going to win the game. But, you know, it's a much different game if they have to waste a quarter trying to get the quarterback up to speed.
No, it's a much different game emotionally if they have to.
And scoreboard-wise. Yeah,
listen, I was there. I was at the game when Kenny Two Gloves got off to a rough start. Oh, the Boo Birds were out early.
Well, you already asked people not to boo early.
That's what I'm saying, because I know what's going to happen. I was there. And when that offense and Merrill and Mike did a great job of trying to soft sell, hey, well, you know, the offense is a little sputtering right now. But when they got going, they got going. But initially, it's probably going to take a little while. That's all I'm saying. Just give them a little bit of grace. That's it.
So that's fine when you're playing the 7 or 6 win Cowboys with Cooper Rush at quarterback. This is an 11-win Packer team with Jordan Love.
You sound a little nervous. Sound a little plant-based.
No, right? Well, a little plant-based. Well, but my point is, it's easier to have a quarter you just say, whatever, that was a weird quarter against the Cowboys. You do that against the Packers, all of a sudden we're in a dogfight here.
I will say this. I am more comfortable with having that slow start against the Packers than I would be against the Detroit Lions.
Well, me too. They're not as good as the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that does not do anything to make anybody feel great, but I just feel like the Green Bay Packers, they have a lot of other stuff going on.
They do, yeah.
So I feel like that allows us to, it gives us a little bit of grace to allow Jalen, if he's playing, to get into the groove a little bit.
My feeling on the Packers right now is that they are ripe to quit.
Tumultuous.
Yeah, they have some weird vibes around them. And if the Eagles are up 14 in the third quarter, I think the Packers could pack it in. But what I don't think is if they're in the game, they could win. Like I don't want to keep them around is what I mean.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to do that.
I want to bury them early, and then they might be like, it's not our year, and they just, it's over, right? And the Eagles win, and we get to go to the next round and move on. So, but that involves a good start to this game, and hopefully they're going to be ready from the jump. 215-592-9494. All right, so obviously with all this Hurts stuff going on, Hugh, the backup quarterback becomes significant because that guy might either have to start or go in the game if Jalen has to go back to the medical tent or something else. So we have two options right now. We have Kenny Pickett, who played well against the Cowboys, and then he got hurt. I thought he played decently against the Commanders before that. And then we have Tanner McKee, the flavor of the week here. Hugh's guy, Tanner McKee.
I like how this story is.
Let's hear from Nick Sirianni yesterday being asked about the quarterback situation, what he said about his options at backup quarterback.
Hey, Nick, with the way Tanner's played the last couple of weeks and with Kenny's injury, any thought to making Tanner the backup as he entered the playoffs?
You know, a guy had a lot of confidence in both the guys. You know, I think, you know, when Kenny's had to play, he's played really well. When Tanner's had to play, he's played really well. And so, you know, we got a really good room. Obviously, Jalen has had an outstanding season. So we just have a great room. Credit to Howie and his staff of, you know, getting these guys in here, and then just a great job by these guys and taking advantage of their opportunities, and, you know, great job by Kellen, Kevin, Doug, helping these guys develop. And so we feel really, really good about the room of where we are.
That wasn't a no by Sirianni. I mean, he was asked flat out, would you consider making Tanner the two? That would be above Kenny Pickett. He didn't say no. He said, we're confident, everyone. Oh, let's get on the record here, everyone. On this date, what is today, January 7th? Hugh Douglas, who's the number two quarterback for you on
Kenny
Sunday?
Kenny Two Gloves.
Kyle, where are you at?
As much as I enjoyed watching Tanner McKee sling it out there, I think I'm going to have to go with the more experienced guy.
Kenny Two Gloves.
I'm there.
If this was a situation where we were like, you know, let's see what we got in these guys, and we were in the quarterback carousel, I'd want to see what Tanner McKee has over the course of a few games if the games weren't important. Mm-hmm. But if you're asking me, like, one game, I need a guy to go out there and win it, I'll take Kenny Pickett.
I will, too. And now, that being said, he does have a rib issue, so hopefully he can, if they need him, he could play well on Sunday. But, I can't discount Kenny Pickett has 25 starts in the NFL. That's a decent number of starts.
Significant amount of starts.
Yeah, I mean, he started some big games and won in Baltimore, and he beat the Packers last year, beat the Rams last year. I'm not saying he's great, but, like, he's had real games against real teams. Tanner McKee has one start under his belt, and it was against the worst team in the league. I mean, I can't start him in a playoff game or even make him the number two this week. But I know there's a lot of Tanner people out there. I mean, so we're officially Pickett people for Sunday? Is that where
we
are?
Yeah, I like that. Pickett people. McKee maniacs?
Yes, Pickett people or McKee maniacs. I didn't know when Hugh walked in here this morning. I mean, you got to interview Tanner last night.
He met his idol last night.
I know.
Did he say something that pushed you away from him?
Yeah, did you get a selfie?
No, it's...
Say
it's,
never meet your heroes.
It's just this. These are high leverage games. Now, I do like the fact that when Tanner went out there, he played with a lot of poise. Do like that. But I don't know how he's going to – I don't have enough of a sampling size to know how he's going to respond to this moment, because we all know that even though, you know, it was an NFL game and it counted and they were playing against number ones, this moment is different. It's a lot different. And again, like I said, he showed a lot of poise, but I'm not going to put that young quarterback in that position, because I feel like he's developing the right way as far as quarterbacks are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And the more time that he gets to cook, I think it's going to be better for him. You know, he kind of gave me vibes of potentially a Rich Gannon. You know, Rich Gannon, as far as quarterbacks are concerned, had success later in his career. And the one thing that I've always felt about young quarterbacks, and a prime example of that is Bryce Young, is that sometimes you need to take some of the pressure off of them and allow them to just get comfortable. And now we see Bryce. Now it doesn't look like they want to fire Bryce. Now it looks like, you know, Bryce might be the future.
Oh, they said it. I mean, Canales said it after the game that he's their guy. Kyle, you realize this? We're in for about 2 or 3 straight months if I told you so, Douglas, off the Bryce Young.
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean.
I'm not going to do that, man. You know me well enough.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you what?
See, I'm petty, but I'm not petty when it comes to you guys. It's, you know, I'm petty when it comes to...
Well, we'll get to a petty moment about us from yesterday.
Well, that, no, because...
our backs,
family,
by the way.
Family business?
Yeah, it's not... First of all, it was all family. We're all family.
I got ears all over the station, buddy.
We're all family. And in my defense, what I said was not like I was telling a lie.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
You guys are bullies. Yeah. You're bullies.
No, we try to get the truth. If we have to shake you down, we shake you down. 215-592-9494. Ken in Cinnamon said, hey, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning, Ken.
What's up, man?
Welcome back.
Joe, thank you.
I would be worried if you weren't worried, because this is Joe all over. So, first of all, let's get to the Packers. They're going to boat race this team. The Green Bay Packers are the most overvalued team in the NFL, and it's all based upon the fact that they did something last year that everybody does. They went and slapped the Cowboys at home in a playoff game. Like, the Packers are not good. So, let's, you know, look at their record. Look at who they've played. Chris Collinsworth was talking about it Sunday or whatever night it was. Well, the Packers, you know, look, all of their losses have come to good teams. Yeah, well, so we're worried about the Packers because they only lose to good teams. Guess what, guys? The Eagles are a good team. And the Packers haven't beaten a good team this year. As far as Jalen and the concussion protocol, this is the most ado about nothing that I can remember in a long, long time. And I'll tell you what. He was not going to play last week. Under no circumstances was he going to play last week. So you're not going to send him out there to practice in a week he's not going to play just to clear concussion protocol so Joe Giglio and everybody else feels better. And let's say that he has practiced last week and cleared concussion protocol last week for no reason on Wednesday. What would all of the conversation and questions to Nick Sirianni have been for the remainder of the week? Is Jalen going to play Sunday? We got to get the rust off him. Are you going to go out and get him any reps? So I don't think the Eagles are particularly wanted him to be out of concussion protocol last week, because every question that Nick Sirianni has gotten about Jalen Hurts has been the same answer. That's all I'm going to tell you. He's going through concussion protocol.
So can you?
That's the way they want it.
You might be right on that, but here's my question. Let's play it out. Let's say you're right that they kind of finagled this, because what's the point? I mean, if he could have cleared last week and they just chose to go about it this way, you want your starting quarterback on ice for 2 weeks? I mean, he hasn't thrown a pass even lightly in practice for 2 weeks. That's a little bizarre.
He would have been on ice anyway.
No, but I don't know about that. I mean, he could have been out there tossing a football around. Like, he literally hasn't been able to, on a practice field, throw a pass for 2 weeks. That's a long time.
Do you really think that Jalen Hurts literally hasn't thrown a football since then? Like,
Well, no. Well, I mean, I don't know if he's thrown a football, but not in practice. He can't. He hasn't participated.
That's the point. The only reason to have him practice last week, because the ones weren't going to play, so it's not like he was going to get a ton of game plan reps with the ones anyway. The only reason to have him practice last week would have been to make everybody and people like you feel better about the concussion protocol. No other benefit to the team. Actually, I think you have more of a benefit from a psychological advantage that I guarantee you the Packers are preparing with the full expectation that they are going to see a healthy 100% Jalen Hurts on Sunday. They're not worried about this generation's version of A.J. Feely coming out there and beating them, because that's what this Tanner McKee stuff is. It's A.J. Feely all over again.
It does remind me of that. It reminds me of the 2002 season when Coy played and then A.J. played, and then they eventually, you know, they flipped A.J. for a pick to Miami. I see a little bit of that.
And then he went and got paid, and then, hey, guess what? A.J. Feely really does stink. So that's why he's the third quarterback. I'm not saying Tanner McKee stinks, but there's zero benefit to the Eagles to worry about getting Jalen Hurts out of concussion protocol until they need him out of concussion protocol to play on Sunday.
Then tomorrow's the tell, Ken, and Ken, we appreciate it. And I appreciate that I'm keeping everyone level here. If I wasn't concerned, you'd be concerned. I'll be the one to worry, so you don't have
guy.
To.
Good job.
What do we think about what Ken said, that this is a big ruse, or at least like a finagling of the schedule, right? Because they knew they weren't going to play last week, so what's the point of clearing him? Do we buy it?
I don't know. I mean, because if you want him out, you want him playing, well, even though he wasn't going to play. I see where his rationale comes
because
from.
Because the starters weren't going to play anyway last week.
Yeah, I see
so
where his rationale comes from. Give him a couple more weeks. Keep it hush-hush. And there is some strategic value to this as well. Because even though Ken says that they're 100% preparing for Jalen, they got to prepare for Kenny Two Gloves, too.
Well, we're going to know the answer to this tomorrow, right? Like, if Jalen misses practice tomorrow, all these, hey, this is just silly stuff, guys, that goes out the window, because that means he's not cleared yet. I don't know. Maybe Ken's right. Maybe the Eagles are just using the schedule to their advantage. It's just bizarre.
I don't buy what Ken said. If the Eagles had an opportunity to get Jalen Hurts reps in practice, you know how valuable they consider those. Like, they don't put guys out in preseason because they think you can get those reps, those valuable reps, in practice. Yep. So even if they weren't going to play him against the Giants, I think in their perfect world, they would have him out there throwing the football.
That's what I mean. Like, he hasn't been able to throw to his receivers in a practice for weeks.
Right.
I don't know what the value in that is. I mean, other than just throwing the Packers off a little bit or giving him some extra rest. And also, this isn't like, if he had a knee issue, I could see get him off his feet for a full week. It's not like anything else is I mean, anyway, it's a broken finger. But, like, in terms of what, nothing in practice would bother him. It's not like he has a knee or a back issue where maybe a full week off would rest him up. This is a concussion. So,
and maybe that's probably, and I forgot about the finger. Maybe that's probably why he hasn't thrown, because they're trying to give him a chance to get as healthy as he possibly can.
Yeah, that left hand, left finger. I do wonder if that can. I don't know how much that could heal up in 2 weeks, but maybe that could be a little bit better. Let's go to Matt, who's up next. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch base with you guys and give you my support, man.
Oh, no.
Because, I mean, here's where I'm at with it, because it seems disingenuous to sit there and say, you know what, we're going to take points off of the calculation because it was by the offense. When the reality is, when you sit there and you turn that ball over, those offensive players become defensive players, period.
I mean, that's the truth.
Automatically.
That is true.
And that's why
this is the most ridiculous spin I've ever heard.
The only person.
Stop.
They do. Because they do they not get credit with tackles?
Is this person a relative?
No, I'm saying, but he's right. Don't they get credit with tackles?
No, he's
only
not.
Only person who runs off the field is the quarterback. They tell the quarterback to run for cover.
No, because this is disingenuous. Because you play defense. You're going to sit here and tell me that if Donovan threw a pick six, that it's your fault and the defense should get in trouble for it?
If they score, that's on us.
Because they're the defender.
Oh my goodness. Why did you do this?
Why y'all yelling and screaming don't make y'all right?
Well, because you're being absurd and you know it.
Defense. You guys aren't hearing me. You're saying that if the offense, if they're just offense, then they have no obligation to make a tackle. Period.
They do have an obligation, Matt. That, of course.
They're defenders. They become defenders.
But when you count how many points the defense allowed during the season, the special teams and especially offensive scores by the opponent, or defensive scores, however you want to frame it. You know what
I
mean.
That's not the way you guys made this bet.
We said the defense allows 17 or less points per game, and they did.
Oh no, but the thing is, they allowed the opponents. 17.8 points. Didn't say how they got the points, but they allowed the opponents.
So because Saquon fumbled against the Jaguars, you win?
I'm just saying. They allowed the opponents 17.8 points.
This is really embarrassing.
Okay, so if we want to play semantics, we have to change the scoring for how many points the Eagles scored a game because the defense scored some of those
points.
That's fine.
I mean, I don't care. I didn't make a bet about the offense.
We didn't make a bet about that. That's cool.
I'm just saying that ain't right, though.
It is right.
No, it's not.
I can't believe you got ringers calling in
from
Missouri.
Does C.J. Gardner-Johnson's pick six give us offensive points per game? Because we were the offense on that play as soon as he intercepted the ball.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you got to take those away. Right. If we're playing semantics like
that. We're going to play semantics now because I want to paint the picture of how ridiculous you and our last caller are. Ready for this?
We're ridiculous every day.
That was a new level of absurdity.
Let's say the Eagles.
We always strive to be better.
I'm just going to paint a picture, and then you tell me what our reaction is on WIP the next day.
What's that?
Eagles go out there, and they lose 28-0 in a game, and all four touchdowns are pick sixes by the defense. Do you think we come in here the next day and say that defense was terrible yesterday? They allowed 28 points.
Pick sixes by the defense.
Yeah. So you know what would we say? We come in here and
Hurts throws Eagles four win, pick sixes.
No. Hurts throws four pick sixes.
We lose 28-0.
What are we saying the next day? I'll tell you what I would say. That's the worst offensive game in the history of the Eagles.
The defense should be
defense screaming.
Gave up 28 points.
No, you're not.
Oh, there is no.
I'm standing
Hey, listen. Defense gave up 28 points.
They gave up zero.
You're laughing because you know that's just
that's
not
ridiculous.
True.
Hey, listen.
That was a terrible point.
All I know is that when I go on StatMuse, when I look at the official stats.
Here we go.
For the end of the season, for the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles, the NFL team named the Philadelphia Eagles, and it says opponent scores average 17.8. That's all I know. And I know you, and even in the beat, you know what? I'm fighting an uphill battle. I got my best friend in the whole world going against me. I got my two co-hosts going against me. And it got even worse this morning. The boss talking about, who was the writer that wrote, said, well, technically, the Eagles only gave up 288 points.
Uh-huh.
And Rod Lakin, the man that brought me here, said, you know what? He's a reputable writer.
He is?
Seriously?
And Rod has no agendas whatsoever when it comes to this stuff. So.
Rod has an agenda.
The only person with an agenda is you. That's what you're trying to
have. I am fighting an uphill battle here. I sat there with a straight face last night. With a straight face. Look me dead in the face. Say, hey, you know you were kind of flippant when you talked about D.B. This is not about me winning the bet. I'm being punished for my hot take. For the fieriest take, the best take ever in life that's ever had at this station that stood the test of time. Now you want to punish me for it because all of a sudden the defense went from worst to first.
You think you had a Mount Rushmore WIP take?
Yes, I do. I went when we, you know that little board out there, the Mount Rushmore host?
The Hall of Fame out there?
Yeah. My take is going to be on the top of that. My take is going to be right there.
So it's going to be Brookshire, Angelo, Glenn, and the Hughes take.
Hughes take. That is my claim.
So is it going to have like a tombstone date on it? Like
no, because let me tell you.
You see the Schuylkill out there? That's what I'm throwing your take in the bottom because, of the Schuylkill.
See, and you're just reinforcing my point because everybody that talks to me about this always says, "Well, how about that defense?" And they say it with the smugness that that only Eagles fans can.
That they've earned.
And I'm like, why are you being so smart? You're mad at me because I had an awesome take and you finally got a chance. The chickens finally came home the roost two, three years later. Mm-hmm. I added a little bit of...
I know, yeah. put
a little sauce on that. But I'm just saying, that's all this is.
Uh-huh.
You just want to... I just feel like that. People just want to punish me. That's it.
Whatever makes you sleep better at night, but the reality is you lost. Robin Delco, what's up, Rob?
Yeah, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Listen, I got a quick question before I get into my Eagles point. When is the cutoff for wishing somebody Happy New Year? You know what I mean? For the third year? Is it like New Year's Day?
I'd say somewhere around the 4th, 5th.
Well, it all depends on when's the last time you saw him.
Wait a second. Hold on, Hugh. Hold on. Because you just gave I got to respond to this.
What?
What if I don't see someone until July?
Happy New Year.
No.
But like, hey, man, I haven't seen you since last year. Happy New Year.
No.
Yeah. What if it's on the 4th of July? Is the next time you see the person?
Okay, it has to be in the month of January. How about that? Is that better?
That's a little bit better.
I have
a thought on this. But. And it's not a hard rule because there's no hard date. In my mind, the time for Happy New Year's is over when you know like when you're dating something and you have that period of transition where you're still accidentally writing 2024 mm-hmm. on the date.
Yeah.
You mean like people that write their checks.
Once that clicks in your head
that it's 25.
That it's 25 and you've settled in on that with everything you date, then the Happy New Year thing is over.
Rob, I think we're still in the zone. I don't think it's, what's today, the 7th? I don't think it's ridiculous if someone says it today. But, you know, once we get past the zone Kyle brought up or July 4th.
Look, I will be accepting no more next week. They get dumped.
So next week.
Yeah.
How about double digits of January, the 10th?
That's what I was thinking, Joe. That's what I was thinking. Like, if it's like July 12th, January 12th, do I say Happy New Year? I think kind of loses a little bit of steam then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, at some point you got to wake up and realize, like, no more Happy New Year's.
And the whole thing with the years, these kids, you, they don't know that today. Like they don't write no more. Like in high school, you always write it on the paper. You still write the previous year. Now these kids don't have that problem. You know, they don't write none. Everything's on the laptop or computer.
Kids don't date things anymore on the papers?
My kids,
I think they're learning it. Yeah.
They know, but they're only in 4th and 2nd grade, so maybe I don't know when that stops. But go ahead, Rob.
But here's my Eagles point. I'm sounding the 5-alarm fire because let me tell you something. If he does not play on Sunday, I'm worried because look, everybody loves Tanner McKee. Like I like him too, but I agree with you. You get into this environment in a playoff game, it's just ratcheted up another, I mean, how many levels? But does anybody see when he throws a ball, it wobbles a lot. He threw a lot of wobbly balls on Sunday. I don't know if people noticed that, if it was the weather, if it was windy down there or what. Did anybody notice
it? I saw it a little bit.
I just saw the people catching balls.
Yeah, he throws a catchable ball, but a little wobbly.
He just throws catching balls all over the place.
I just tell you right now, I'm big time worried if Jalen doesn't play.
Of course, he's the starting quarterback.
And that's it. Even if we were playing anybody, I would be worried. Because, like, I've seen what we are without him. I see what our running game is without him. I see what these defensive coordinators are going to scheme up when he's not going to play. Knowing he's not going to play, how the offense is going to change. It's like a ripple down effect. It affects so much. But if he comes out and practices tomorrow, they win by 14 plus.
I love it, Rob. Yeah, well, look, and I think that's on the table. Rob, appreciate the phone call. 215-592-9494. Back to all your phone calls here on the Hurts situation. Are you concerned with the Hurts situation? He's still not cleared. He's still in protocol. And then, of course, even if he gets out of it, he could be rusty. I mean, he hasn't played since December 22nd and really hasn't played a full game since December 15th. Plus, on the other side, we got to get back to some family business. Being aired out last night on the Players Lounge in regards to this bet and Hugh's defense.
I was appalled to hear this.
Defense is a luxury take. I mean, this is Hugh went on last night thinking we couldn't hear and we don't have eyes and ears everywhere here and aired out the show publicly. You got to hear this next. 215-592-9494 Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The action is heating up in the playoff season at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. The sportsbook where you can make a whole lot of bets. You can bet over unders and point spread or player props like passing or rushing yards. New ESPN Bet Sportsbook customers can bet up to $10 and get $100 in bonus bets to unlock 30 days of ESPN Plus. Download the app and sign up with the promo code Radio100 to get started today. Odds and lines subject to change. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.